Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, and find, if you would, please, the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14. I understand a vast percentage of you will be at the meeting after the service right here in the auditorium, and you will receive your assignments and receive direction and all of that. Prior to that, I wanted to take my opportunity to kind of have a church meeting in regards to not just fall festival, but in regards to the practice of our church and some understanding. And I want to just kind of share my heart with you as the pastor. They say that when a pastor is in a church for 5 years, it takes 5 years for the church to take on the personality of the pastor. You people are in big trouble. And I've been here 13 years, and I've watched as people come, and sometimes they don't always see or understand the way things are done or organized or whatever. They may not understand decisions that are made or the spirit of certain things. But I want us always to move in unity and in one accord, especially when it comes to moments like we're finding ourselves here as we're preparing to receive as our guest what I will call the unchurched or unsaved world. They all won't be, but many of them will. And so I wanted to take a few moments tonight and kind of just direct your thinking. And I want to come to the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with much of what we are looking at or what we are about to face ourselves. You find the theme of the chapter in the very last verse of the chapter. Probably you have this verse underlined in your Bible. You may even have this in a plaque on your wall. You may find yourself communicating this truth. This is not going to be something foreign to you. In verse number 40, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, makes this declaration. Let all things be done, finish the verse with me please, decently and in order. And really and truthfully, this is the theme of what Paul's dealing with in chapter 14. And really he's dealing with church order, church practice. He's dealing with how things are done inside the church when the church meets together. And his overall emphasis to the church is that the practice of the church ought to be that everything is done decently and done orderly. I believe that we have that testimony within Plantation Baptist Church. I'm thinking about the Fall Festival. I'm thinking about the Veterans Breakfast. I'm thinking about the Covers of Love. I'm thinking about the Awana program. I'm thinking about the Ladies Ministry. I'm thinking about the greeting. I'm thinking about the Parking Lot Ministry. I'm thinking about the Christmas lights. I'm thinking about the choirs and the musics and the practices. I mean, when you come to church, you come to a church that's for the most part organized decently and in order. And if there is any chaos, we don't tell you about it. And I love that. Paul is burdened about what's happening in the church at Corinth and the decency and in the order. And he's burdened very much the way that I'm burdened for us tonight. Come to verse number 23. He has a direction he's going here. He says, if therefore, now you know when I hear that word therefore, you automatically think, pastor's going to have to tell us, go back and visit what this is there for. I will in a second. If therefore the whole church be come together, I would add that would be a miracle. We're always missing somebody. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are, what class? Out of your mind. I'm never going back. Those people are nuts. I think that gets said sometimes. All right. So Paul's dealing with the decorum or in the practice of the church, and he's wanting things to be done decently and in order because he's afraid that when the unchurched come in or the unbelieving come in or the guests come in, he doesn't want them to come into a place that's chaotic so that they never want to come back. So I've been reading this little book here to try to help me as a pastor, and I'm going to give them to you in a moment. But they posted an article, and it talks about the top 9 ways that churches drive away first-time guests. And I don't ever want us to be in our practice or in our lack of decency and order for somebody to visit us one time and that be the reason that they don't want to come back. And so Paul's got this idea that, and what's going on at the church of Corinth is chaotic. Let me show you how chaotic it is. Go to verse number 1. And I'm going to try to walk through this very quickly and very rationally here. But Paul's got to deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. And he's dealing with 2 gifts in particular. One of those gifts is the gift of tongues. I'll show that to you in a moment. This was a gift that was of the Spirit of God that enabled a man within the church to be able to communicate in a language that no one else understood other than the Lord. It was a very single gift. It had no edification for the church. It edified the believer, but it was a practice. Paul had told them that this was going to cease, but it was dealt with in the church at Corinth. The other gift is the gift of prophesying. The gift of prophesying was done in a known tongue or a known language so that when an unsaved person came through the door, they would not understand the tongues, but they would understand the prophecy. At the church of Corinth, much like what we have today, the gift of tongues had been catapulted or exalted to some kind of special elite gift. And so there was a dishonest approach to gifts. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Nobody wanted to prophesy. Nobody wanted to exercise the other gifts. They had such a value on this. And so the church got skewed in a way that Paul had to say, listen, when a visitor comes in, they think you're out of your mind. And Paul steps back and says, now we need things to be done decently and in order. Pick up in verse number 1, having that foundation. Follow after charity, which is love. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. This would be like preaching. This would be a outward verbal approach to the truth. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to, say that word, about 7 times that word's used in this chapter, edification, exhortation, and comfort, all right? So edification, exhortation, and comfort were all fruit of the gift of prophesying. Keep reading. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Wasn't wrong, Wasn't wrong if it was the gift that the Spirit gave to that person, but it was a single gift. It was single in purpose. It was single in glory. It was single in the reach of that gift. Verse number 4. But he that prophesieth edifieth the... Now listen, I want to stop right here and I want to say this. Church isn't all about you. Church is all about the Lord, and it's all about us as one. And we need to understand that. Verse number 5. Paul says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. See, the whole church wanted to speak in tongues. Paul says, now wait a minute. I'd rather everybody prophesy. Why would he rather that? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Whoa, that was a confrontation to them, because they were all about elevating themselves to greatness if they could speak in tongues. So everybody wanted to speak in tongues. And Paul says, now wait just a minute. Greater is the guy that speaks in the language we know. Greater is the guy that can communicate. Greater is that guy that prophesieth. Keep reading. He interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, remember, this is a language no man understands, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? How many recognized Cynthia's Offertory? You had heard that song before. So you understood the distinction of the sound. And every note, you were singing a word if you knew that. You understand that. Verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongues words. What's that word? Easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Oh, there are many. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. Well, that makes sense. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. I don't speak any Spanish. When I go to the Sawgrass Mills Mall, they're barbarians to me, and I'm a barbarian to them. You got the picture, right? You speak Spanish, God love you. You all speak all kinds of languages. Some of you speak 4 or 5 languages. That's great. He's just saying, if you can't understand what somebody's saying, it's like they're a barbarian to you. Even so, ye, verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now watch in verse number 18 how far Paul takes this. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than y'all. He's Southern. Yet in the church, I had rather speak. How many words? 5. This makes perfect sense. 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, Paul's got a chaotic situation going on here at Corinth. And it's not that the whole situation is wrong. There was the gift of tongues, and there is the gift of prophesying. And God had set within the body those that he had set, but everybody can't speak in tongues. Otherwise, Nobody can understand what's going on. And if the believers can't even understand what's going on, when an unsaved person comes into the church, they're going to think you're out of your mind. So here's what Paul's trying, why he's wanting to bring decency and an order. Look at verse 24. And this is what we're doing with our fall festival. But if all prophesy, means if there's knowedness there, there's an understanding there. If all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his, what? Heart. Made manifest. So he's saying, listen, if the guy comes in and he's not saved, and all he hears is everybody speaking in some thing, he's going to think you people are out of your mind. But if he comes in and he hears somebody speak five words about Jesus, watch what happens. The secrets of his heart can be made manifest. Verse 25. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I don't know about you, but when people come to us Friday night, I want them to know that God is in this place. I want them to see our lives and our heart. I want the secrets of their heart to begin to be spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God. And ultimately, we want to bring them into a position where they're saved and where they are baptized and they're discipled and they're part of our church and where they will worship God. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. All right. So I wanted to prepare you for Friday night. And the way that I wanted to prepare you for Friday night is I want us to be, I want our spirits to be right. I want our spirits to be humble to the fullness of the Spirit of God. I want our understanding to be there. I want our understanding to be in the fact that we have unsaved folks that will be coming. They're our guests. Our goal is not so much for them to have a good time. Our goal is for them while they're here to be confronted with Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. So there was a survey done, and it gave 9 ways that churches drive away first-time guests. And I just want to go over these 9 things real quick, so hopefully you will remember this for Friday night. The number one way, reason that people give for not coming back to a church is unfriendly church members. Number one reason. The writer says this response was anticipated, but the surprise was the number of respondents who included, listen to this, non-genuine friendliness in their relationship. In other words, the guests perceived that some of the church members were faking it. Wow. Unfriendly church members drives people away. All right. So, if I'm dead honest with you, I have a hard time coming to the Christmas lights. Why would you have a hard time coming to the Christmas lights? Because I'm used to being on this property with you. And when I'm on this property with you, we love the Lord, right? And we treat this property as hallowed ground. I'm out there at the Christmas lights and they're throwing their beer cans on the ground. They're smoking their marijuana. They're using the Lord's name in vain. They're mistreating everything. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I had to kind of calm myself a little bit and realize that when the world comes, they come just as they are. I'm fine with that. I just want them to leave as the Lord Jesus makes them, right? And so I don't want them to run into any unfriendliness. Friday night, unless you know a person by their name, I need you to treat them like they're a first-time guest. First-time guests don't know church protocol. So they're used to going to the mall and somebody tells them where to park and they just say, forget you. That's not the F word they use, but forget you. And they park where they want to park. Okay, parking lot crew, don't explode on them. They're not used to certain protocols in the way that we do that. But you don't know, and especially because we do two services, somebody may be coming at 8:30 as a guest. You come to 11 o'clock. You don't think they're part of our church. And you unleash on them for some reason that's going to drive them away. So I want you to treat everybody on Friday night like they are our guests. If you understand that, say amen. We have security here. If somebody causes a problem, come get me. I can handle it. Others can handle it. In your words and in your tone, maintain a respect. Don't just assume that people know how to operate on a church property. The world doesn't know how to operate anywhere anymore. And so unfriendliness is the number one way that people visiting get driven away. And then the topping of that was the non-genuine friendliness. Boy, that's hard to deal with when they perceive that some of the church members were faking it. I can just tell you that when you relate to people, they know if you're interested or not interested. They know if you're concentrating or you're not concentrating. And you don't want the devil to use you as the one person that leaves a bad taste in their mouth about the Lord. Right? Number two, unsafe and unclean children's areas drive people away, especially with small children. Well, this is a children's event. So I know that we're going to do the best job that we can to be prepared for them. But when you show up on Friday night, I need every one of you to look for danger. I need every one of you to look for some way that's just to be cognizant of that where somebody could get hurt, something could happen. If you see trash on the ground, pick it up. This is a children's event. If you see in the line where children are having a difficult time, just be conscious of that. Be conscious of your area where you're serving. Make sure that you're organized there and you're keeping it up to par and so on. But unsafe and unclean children's areas. I want to say to those of you that clean Plantation Baptist Church as a job and as a ministry, you do a wonderful job. I want to say to our children's workers, you need to understand when a parent drops off their child, you're the one determining whether they're coming back or not, not me. Thank you, Lord. Finally, I'm off the hook. Okay? It's you. How you welcome them in the junior church, how you welcome them in the Sunday school, how you greet the family, what that room looks like, how you're prepared for them. Every parent is analyzing this. To Mandy Nunez and to Laura Melody, you do an awesome job. You do an awesome job. And I think we ought to have an applause for that. Number three, the reason that people get driven away is that there's no place to get information. This happens all the time. It says, if your church does not have a clear and obvious place to get information, you probably have lowered the chances of a return visit by half. Then this is the statement in here. And I know that Mike and Jill are here, and I want them to hear this. There should also be someone to greet and assist guests at the information center as well. We do a great job at that. We're going to hug your neck whether you want us to or not. We're going to welcome you whether you want. If you greet the front door, if you greet the back door, if you work the welcome desk, if you work the parking lot crew, if you're involved in helping people find their way, understand, people are judging whether or not they're coming back ever again because of that. Friday night, when you see people that look like they're lost, volunteer to help them. May we help you. If you're working the registration booth, you better not get angry at one person or I'm coming to see you. Well, Pastor, they didn't fill out all their information. Who cares? Just be kind. Understand you're the first person they're running into. Can't be bickering back and forth. judging that, helping them, showing them where to go, all of that is important. We're doing okay on our signage here. I think we could add some things. We need somebody to give $25,000 so we can put a sign out front. That's what it cost. We tore down the old wooden one. You guys complained almost every Sunday. I got complaints about how ugly our sign was, how ugly our sign was, how ugly our sign was. I was getting a complex. So one day, I told Joey, just go yank it out and throw it in the trash. We did that 3 years ago. Nobody said a word. When it was there and it was ugly, you saw it. When we took it out, I bet I have not had five people come and ask me, hey, where'd the sign go? You're probably thinking, they had a sign? Does anybody remember the sign that was out there? Honestly, before I just said that, did anybody realize it wasn't there? 10 people, maybe? We priced it. It's 25 grand to buy a sign that's lighted and put all that and put it in the ground and hook it up and get the permits. But people like to be secured in understanding where they're going. Bad church website. Number 4. To Reuben, to Nick, to Turner, to Randy Williams, to anybody that has anything to do with our church website, you're doing a great job. And people are searching in on that. They're looking there and they're listening to messages. They're checking out. They're leaving comments. It's important. We talked about poor signage. Insider church language. Most of the respondents were not referring to theological language as much as the language that only the members knew. Something like the WMU will meet in the CLC in the room where the GAs usually meet. Right. So be careful in how we communicate. You know, as they're our guests, they're not going to know just to go around here or whatever. I want you to have the Publix mentality. Publix aggravates me, but they do a good job. All I want you to do is tell me what aisle the hot sauce is in. We use that Footies hot sauce. Hank Hansen, are you here tonight? Man, he got me on that hoodie, on that Footies hot sauce with the wings. That stuff is awesome. And I couldn't find it for a while. So I asked the guy, I said, sir, where, you know what they do? You know what they do, don't you? I'll walk you, right? Where are you going to go? I don't need you to walk me. Is it an aisle 5 or 6? No, I'll walk you over there. Okay, walk me over there. Fine. Right? So, they don't know where to go. You walk them around. You help them. You understand. Treat everybody like they're a guest. Boring or bad services? The guy says, my surprise was that this wasn't number one. I want to say to anyone who has anything to do with organizing the service, from digital to music to choir to specials to organs to pianos to the way the service is organized, I don't think we have a boring service. I think you're doing a wonderful job. And praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit shows up. Fall Festival will not be boring, I promise you that. Yeah, thank you. All right, I knew I loved Joe. Number 8, members telling guests that they were in their seats or pew. And right here it says, yes, this still takes place. And you have some people, and some people are honest about this. If they can't sit in the same seat, they can't even concentrate. It bothers them like that. I understand that. Have we ever had people leave our church because somebody did this? Absolutely. Probably since I've been here in 13 years. I remember one guy, he was so mad. Pat, it wasn't you, but it was that seat right there. I'm over here, we're shaking hands, I'm getting ready to preach, I'm greeting. The guy walks all the way over here and he grabs me and he says, we will never be back. Those people just said they're in our seats. Or we're in their seats. I thought, okay. So be careful about that. By the way, you say a lot of things with your face more than you do your mouth. You don't have to say you're in my seat. You just go, And then when they shake hands, don't take your seat back, okay? Church is not about you. It's about the Lord. And then dirty facilities. Didn't look like it had been cleaned in a week. No trash cans anywhere. So guests are looking for trash cans. So Friday night, if the trash is over, spilling, remember what Pastor just said. Some guest is probably looking at whether or not we got the trash. Pick it up, take it to the dumpster. I don't expect the ladies to do this. I expect the men to do this. If the trash is all over the floor, let's make sure that we keep the trash up. Keeping the trash up shows that we're organized and that we're prepared. Pastor, why would you be so poignant tonight? Because when they come in, I want them to fall down on their face and worship God. Amen. I'm telling you, if I could tell you how you as an individual affect people's lives and you don't even know about it, you'd be shocked. I love you. We do a marvelous and wonderful job. But let's make sure everything's done decently and in order. Let's make sure we come filled with the Spirit of God. And let's make sure we realize what this thing is all about. We will have police that will be here. We bring the plantation police officers in. You have to do that anymore whenever you have an activity. There's certain things you have to do. We have officers that are within our membership that will be walking, plain clothes. Some of them will be in uniform. They will be around. You know, the world is getting to the point almost where you're kind of a little bit nervous pulling everybody together, but people still need the Lord. And so we're going to pull together by prayer and trust the Lord and do what we can. And I believe we're going to have a great night on Friday night. Amen? All right, I'm 2 minutes late. I'm sure I'll hear about it, but let's pray.